As we turn our hearts and minds now to the scripture, today is that Sunday in the life of the church when we ordain and or install our officers, and I am charged by the Presbyterian Book of Order to preach on this particular Sunday on serving the Lord. And so we are continuing in our study through the book of Acts. Last week we looked at the fact that we are baptized into the community of faith. We are no longer just individual Christians, but individual Christians who are members now of a larger body. This morning we're going to skip from chapter 2 into chapter 6, but we will be talking about those chapters in between briefly in my sermon. Because in chapter 6, we begin to see for the first time in the history of the church the idea of people serving in different capacities with different gifts to build up the body of Christ. And so always, as we prepare to hear God's word read and proclaimed, I invite you now to join me in prayer. Lord, as we think, going through the book of Acts, of what it means to be the church of Jesus Christ, we come now this morning to a text that shows us that you call us to serve, and you call us to serve in different capacities, in different ways, with different gifts and different responsibilities. And so we pray, Lord, that as we go back to this ancient church and watch them as they begin to develop, that your Spirit will speak to us, that we will hear you calling us to the particular ways to serve that you have for us. Come now, Spirit of God, and speak to each one of us as only you can. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Join me now as we read Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. A couple of times as we read this text, you'll notice that I will have marked a Greek word to the side. The word is diakonia. It is the word we get deacon from. But in Greek, it is the general word for serve or minister or servant or minister. I'm going to invite you to read along with me, but you don't have to say the Greek word when we come to it. Let us read now together the word of God from Acts chapter 6. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained. They were complaining because their widows were being overlooked in the daily ministry or service of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Does anyone know, Tony, who this handsome fellow is? What's his name? Uncle Sam. And what does Uncle Sam, what are there any words associated with this poster? Oh, thank you. Who said that? Uncle Sam wants you. In 1917, when the United States was entering World War I, the government commissioned a man named James Montgomery Flagg, who was a graphic artist, to design a series of posters to recruit the entire nation to get on board with the war effort. His first posters, Tony, if you'll go to the next one, were recruiting for military service. And so first we had Uncle Sam saying, I want you for the U.S. Army, and giving you directions to go to the nearest recruiting station. But because the Army alone could not win the war, Uncle Sam also wanted you to join the Navy. And he wanted you to join, do you see it? Now. Interestingly, however, the war effort was not going to be won purely with the military, with the Army or the Navy or the Marine Corps or the Coast Guard. And so James Montgomery Flagg also designed other posters, such as this one, Help, the Woman's Land Army of America. So women who were staying at home could become a part of the land army and plant and grow food, gardens that were called victory gardens, and so they too could be a part of the war effort. And not to leave anyone out, Flagg also designed posters for children. Boys and girls, you can help your Uncle Sam win the war. Save your quarters and buy war saving stamps. Everyone in the country was invited to get on board, from the youngest to the oldest, from the smallest to the great, whether you had skills in military action or not, you were to be a part of America's winning that war. Flagg went on to design and modify those posters for World War II. Basically, in those wars, Uncle Sam wanted all hands on deck. Every American was called to serve. We read in Acts, in those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews. And there we have it. The first instance recorded of conflict in the newly formed Christian church. And this is what happened. In the Judaism of that day, you had two primary groups. One group were called the Hellenists, the Hellenistic Jews. And these were Jews who, living in other parts of the Greco-Roman Empire, spoke Greek, and many of them adopted a Greco-Roman lifestyle in their dress, in their behaviors, and in other ways. And then you had the Hebraic Jews centered in Jerusalem and Palestine. They spoke Hebrew. Many of them adhered closely to the Old Testament law. And there was very often tension between them because of these linguistic and cultural differences. Well, on Pentecost, both Hellenistic Jews and Hebraic Jews came to faith in Jesus Christ, and they entered the church, and it's not long before their differences begin to cause conflict. And although we don't know why, the scriptures don't tell us, what happened was this. In that day, widows did not have a social safety net. Many of them, when their husbands died, the inheritance passed to the oldest son. And so they were left basically with nothing. And so in both the Jewish synagogues of that day and now in the early church, it became the practice of their faith community to provide for them. Daily food, sometimes a weekly distribution of funds to meet their other needs. And we don't know why, whether it was out of pride or jealousy or meanness or neglect, but for some reason, those widows who spoke Hebrew were being served in the daily distribution. And those Jews who did not speak Hebrew, those widows who did not speak Hebrew, were being left out. And the word that is used to describe what was going on in the body is one of my favorite Greek words. It's gangousmos. And it means to murmur. Murmur. It's that little quiet undercurrent of complaining that goes on when human beings get together. And so finally, the apostles were approached, and they were made aware of this gangousmosing that was happening in the body. And they knew something had to be done so that the distribution would be fair. They looked at their responsibility to preach, to pray, to study, to focus their energy on the proclamation of the gospel and the teaching of believers. And they realized they could not take on this daily task. And so they turn to the congregation, the community of faith, and they invite them to choose 7 men who will then take responsibility for making sure that every widow, regardless of her background and her language, would be served her daily portion. That is the first time that we begin to see in the New Testament what we call today a division of labor. That is realizing that no one can do all of it, and that God has gifted different people in different ways. And so now the church has what we would see as elders who are responsible for the spiritual life and governance and oversight of the church. And we have deacons who are responsible for the care giving of the church. Now, some of you might think, well, that leaves me off the hook. I'm not an elder. I'm not a deacon. I can just come to church on Sunday, as Diane's shaking her head, and sit. But that's not how it works. That's not how the New Testament was designed. Just as in our wars, Uncle Sam wanted everyone on board, everyone was called to serve, even if it meant they just collected quarters to buy war saving stamps. Everyone in the Church of Jesus Christ has a role to play. If you weren't an apostle, and you weren't a deacon, what were some of the ways that you could serve? And this is where we go back and scan chapters 3, 4, and 5, and we see the body at work. First of all, they were all called to serve by praying. We read in chapter 3 that Peter and John were on their way to the temple to pray. And so we gather on Sunday mornings and we pray together. We pray for one another. We pray for our world. We pray for the church. But we also see later in chapter 4 that a crisis happened in the church, and they gathered together and raised their voices up to God, asking for God's grace and help and power. And so we pray at home. We pray in small groups. We pray in our life groups. We find a way to serve by praying. If you are here this morning, you are not too old to pray. I hear many of our elderly people saying, there's no way I can serve anymore. But that is not true. Because one of the most powerful things you can do is to pray every day for this church, for me, for our elders. And we desperately need those prayers. So they were called to serve, every one of them, by praying. But they were also called to serve by sharing Christ's compassion with those who hurt. Peter and John, as they were on the way to the temple in chapter 3, encounter a beggar. And he is a lame beggar sitting there by the gate called Beautiful. And instead of passing on by, getting to a prayer meeting, they turn to this young man and they share Christ's compassion with him. They raise him up on his feet. The Holy Spirit comes into his body and he is made whole. We all have opportunities all the time to share Christ's compassion with those who are hurting. Our Stevens ministers, Linda and Vicky and Bill and Rich and Phyllis, just raise your hands one moment, and Suzanne is not here today. They have been trained, and they are waiting to share the compassion of Jesus Christ with those in our congregation that need someone to walk along beside them and to pray with them and care for them and encourage them in their life's journey. There are many in our congregation who are at home giving care to a loved one. How much time does it take for us to pick up a phone or write a note and let them know that we are thinking of them and we are praying for them? That is how we can serve, by sharing Christ's compassion with those who are hurting. Every month we have a collection on the first Sunday for those who are hungry. The next few months it will be going to our daily bread. That's a way we share Christ's compassion with those who are hurting. And if you look in your bulletin, you will see an insert today called Plant a Seed, Feed a Soul. And in just a month, on February the 17th, we will be having a seed packing event. How many of you attended the Rise Against Hunger last year, the meal packing event? This is exactly the same thing, except instead of packing soy product food, we will be packing seeds that are then sent around the world to those who need a way to make a living. And so they will be able to raise their own food, feed their own animals. That is a practical way all of us can serve, by sharing Christ's compassion. We are also called to serve, looking at the example of the early church, by giving generously of our resources. It was a regular practice. It's mentioned in chapter 2 and in chapter 4 of members of the early church. When there was a need, they would sell their homes, their land, their personal belongings, so that they would have the funds to meet that need. And so we're called by Christ, called by the New Testament, to serve by giving generously of our resources. I was so tickled to see Jane Middle last week. Came in with her check for her Palmasola Elementary School books. They will be up in February. Jane has a heart to serve. And one way she serves is by purchasing good quality books that are going to our local elementary school. We can all do that and provide supplies for their clinic. We're also looking for people who will give generously of their time and commit once a week for 30 minutes on a Thursday from 1 to 1:30 to go read to children at the elementary school. It's just a way we can serve in the image of Jesus Christ. If we want to be the church as it is described in the book of Acts, we will all live into the truth that we are called to serve in the church as a part of Christ's body and as a world in the world as a light in that dark place. As I look at the Uncle Sam posters, the only thing that bothers me about them, and maybe you see the same thing, is Uncle Sam looks like a grump. Have you noticed? He's got this wicked, crooked finger pointing right at you, and he really looks mad. Uncle Sam wants you. And thankfully, the Uncle Sam Wants You campaign was very successful. But that is not how the call to serve comes to us. Jesus is not threatening us. He is not shaking his fingers at us. He is not frowning at us. He is, first of all, leading by example. For he himself came not to be served, but to serve. And then he comes alongside each one of us and simply invites us to come and follow him, to find our gifts, our passions, our interests, and to use those gifts and passions and interest to serve the Lord. In him and in the early church, we see the beauty of a life of service. Will you not respond to God's call and serve him with your whole heart? Let us pray. Lord, we live in a busy world, and we all have demands on our time. But we pray that in some small way, each person present this morning will find a place in your body. Find a place to give, to serve. A place that will bring joy and purpose and delight, so that we might be the church you have called us to be. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand now and sing of that call to service. Rise up, O Church of God, hymn number 671. In your hymnal, we will sing verses 1 through 3. And instead of saying, rise up, O men, every time you see men, please just put in the word church.